Time for our footy chat for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. A great interview with the mums and dads, gents. It brings out the human side from the families, which is absolutely fantastic. I love it too. I love talking to the families, just seeing how they're preparing for this weekend. Wispy Michael Voss appears. He's over. Looks to be in seat 1A for the Carlton coaching job.
Mm.
It's interesting. I think it was Chris Davies who said that the changes he's seen in Michael Voss, and this is what happened second time round, which is becoming Brett Ratton, and now it becomes Michael Voss. So we always used to say, why don't these coaches get a second chance? And it would appear that this is, maybe it's going to become a trend. He seeks copious amounts of feedback. He's been much better at man management. He's much better technically. Ollie Wines says he's just the extraordinary motivator. So all of that speaks to what you'd hope from Vossi second time around, doesn't it?
100%. He's been in charge of the development, the leadership program there, the plaid personal development stuff too. So he's had a great all-round experience in football. You can't be ready, Gary, when you're given a job as early as what he was given. You just can't be. Mm. As great a player as he might have been, he can't have been ready for what was going to confront him at the Brisbane Lions in terms of the experience, the all-round experience you needed. So, of course, these guys are going to be better second time round. And I bet overall he wasn't the same bloke as he is right now. He wouldn't have been going to whoever it was back in the day as the CEO of the Brisbane Lions asking for feedback, because he's come out of the game as a player and he would have been overwhelmed by the enormity of the job that he had at hand as well. So now he's far more comfortable in his own skin too as a human being, which means that he's going to be a better coach.
When your first time around, you probably don't want to show any vulnerability, you know. You think, oh, and they'll be looking at me knowing that I haven't done any assistant coaching, so I've just got to be so strong. I can't be seen to be asking for too much advice because they might think I'm not ready. So all those things would have to play out, but I think you're right. So, and then now he's going to go and surround himself with assistant coaches and put together that team. So that whole assistant coaching merry-go-round that we spoke about yesterday, they've got another page in that book with Rob Harvey hooking up with the Hawthorn Footy Club and going out with Sam Mitchell.
Yep, and he's had a lot of great experiences as well. He's coached in his own right for a short period of time, which he said he learned a lot about him and the coaching experience. So I think, when you're setting up a coaching panel, you need a group of people, obviously, that have had different experiences, are at different stages of their life, have different personalities, have different skills that they're going to be able to bring to the table. So I'm not surprised that Hawthorn have given him that opportunity to coach again.
And how much like the two competing teams who have had great success this year, both these teams are in the weekend. So then their coaches become a subject of great interest for other clubs. So I see where Stephen King's name's now, really strong on the wish list. Could he go back to Geelong? Because then Geelong, he could bring his, all the intelligence that he's been able to garner through the Lukey Beveridge time. And like Uze go to Melbourne, so he brings the Clarkson intelligence, Jocko Williams. So that has seemed to have been a big part of Melbourne's success, is getting that assistant coaching group right.
That's right. And there's a sharing of information that goes right through the football ranks, Gary. And I spoke to somebody the other day that had sat down and interviewed some coaches, and he said one of the remarkable things was when you sat there and talked to them, how similar their views were, and when they sat down and explained what you're trying to do defensively, how similar that was. So it goes through the competition, and obviously when you're sitting down and choosing a coach, you've got to have somebody that's going to be a leader and somebody that can bring what they believe is the most important parts of all that and combine it with the talent they've got at their disposal and try and get the best out of their group. Just one other thing too, and Simon Goodwin spoke about this yesterday. He said that Blighty taught me, make sure you keep the enjoyment and keep the environment light where the players are still enjoying themselves. That's the type of environment that he's trying to create at Melbourne. And then I was reading about Jenny Williams. Jenny Williams is the sister of Mark Williams, right? And she was saying in this interview in the Herald Sun today that I think that people underestimate the impact of a joyous person around the place. She was explaining Mark and his personality and what he might bring to the club. Isn't it interesting? You go back to yesteryear when we were playing. Did anyone ever try and create a joyous environment around their footy?
Not so much whilst you were playing, but outside of that. that we had people that were, you know, their roles, whether defined or not, took it upon themselves to make sure there was a way. Like when I first got there, Shane Zantuck, Greg Wells, those two blokes were part of the sort of coaching, and also Wellesley was the chairman of selectors. They were magnificent at that. They were just, you know, Swooper loved it as well because they could, you know, coach hard and play hard, you know, but when it came time to lighten up, they led the charge and it was important for us.
You know, Sheeds at once, this was the genius of Sheeds. At one stage when things weren't going particularly well, we went to a pizza restaurant in Mooney Ponds after training one night and there could have been champions turned up. Al's on the road. Good morning, Al.
What?
For some fun. Good morning, Al.
Morning. First, Gary, I think waking up, 2 hours earlier? What do you get up now? 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning to catch the show? You're doing a great job. We can't even tell you were sleeping or anything. Secondly, I have a question for you guys. Anybody who's played any kind of game at a high level would know that you often play games in your head time and over again. Do you think the fact that Bulldogs have been to a grand final and Melbourne haven't, and Melbourne have had a lot more time on their hands thinking about this, may somehow psychologically affect them? And would they have a psychologist kind of helping you out with this? Because I think that's the only disadvantage they have, the fact that Bulldogs have played in the grand final 5 years ago and know what they've got to go through, and Melbourne has had to sit around for almost 2 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks to think about this. What's your thoughts on this, guys?
Well, that's a good question. Before we answer it, I think Max Gorn was asked this last night on AFL 360 about how hard or how different or how difficult that week off was without any footy.
Oh, really? I'm going to be honest. It's been the hardest week of my life because as skipper and as someone that's incredibly driven as a 30-year-old guy that might not be able to get this chance again, I'm dedicating everything to be able to win this flag. But a lot of the young millennials now need to get away from football. And I'm sitting there watching people in the first week go out and play some golf, go for a surf, and stuff like that. It does tear your hair out as a captain, but yep. These guys need that. They need to get away from football. But now what's really good is we flick the switch where we're into footy.
So what he's saying for Al is that, yes, it is a long 2 weeks, but the first week from a Melbourne point of view anyway is they tried to switch off and get away from footy a fair bit. Now, how much that works out, I think, having been there is a decided advantage for the Dogs, absolutely.
Do you think the idea of having experience is overplayed?
Oh, it depends how much. No, I think it's worth something. I just don't know what percentage it is. I've not been there and won one, and I've been there but not won one. And so, I don't know. You'd be better off telling me that. You've played in plenty and
I've seen it both ways. I've seen it work either way. I think the experiences that they've had, Melbourne, because of what happened to them a few years ago and how many players played in that prelim final and then what happened last. Yeah, I think their build-up and around the club and the fact that they've got somebody like a Simon Goodwin who's been there a number of times. I think he's handled the situation really well and the mood of the playing group really well. Choco Williams, obviously. I don't think the players are going to get there and be overawed by the occasion. I don't think they will be in what we've been able to detect about the way they've been playing. Paul's in Rosanna. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, guys. Hi, Gary. I'm a Bulldogs member and I'm 100% behind the Doggies, but when the final siren goes and Melbourne's in front, I'll be wrapped for people like you.
Geez, that's a nice thing to say, Paul, and I would be too. If we're not good enough, the Demons aren't good enough to win, then the Dogs, who are only in their fourth ever grand final, would be a sensational result for them as well, mate. So that's a very nice thing to say. Appreciate it. And what else is kicking around there, Whispers?
What about Jordan?
Soss.
Yeah, Soss. Okay, we'll play this grab from Soss, okay? He's just talking here about Steve Coniglio and where his future might lie, where he stands right now with GWS. Have a listen to what he had to say on Trade Radio.
When you see him not playing in the midfield and now he's sort of playing as a small forward, it's probably a lot of money to be paid as a small forward. You know, he's almost wasted a little bit. He's a ripping person, trains really, really hard. I reckon in an ideal world, if he was at his best and was able to get back to his best football, they'd want to keep him. If he's playing at the capacity he is at the minute, I think they'd like to see him move on.
That's a good point that he makes, and that is that when they extended his contract and gave him like a great contract, a long contract, and he's going to be really well paid, they would have been paying him at that time to be the midfielder, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. And to be one of the very best.
That's right. And he slipped out of their best midfield combination.
I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because his very best, well, I used to love Stephen Finlay. I used to think it was absolutely elite. And I just think injuries have had a really big impact on what he's done over the past couple of years. So I don't know whether I'd rush to get him out the door right now. I think I'd have another look at him for another year on that money.
We've spoken before. You actually think that he's been impacted by injury and his inability to be able to train at the levels that he's wanted to be able to train at.
Yeah, I think if he could start training now for next year and have an uninterrupted run, then I don't think it's over for him in terms of getting back to that really elite level. Anyway, that's just my opinion. The all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid, full electric. 2 days to go. Our next guest, I don't know, be the first time in 40, maybe 45 years that he won't be getting involved for a football season. And that would be a very strange sensation, I would have thought. The four-time premiership star, Alistair Clarkson, good enough to join us. Clarko, welcome.
G'day, GP. G'day, Wister. How you going, boys?
We're good. Oh,
you're going well. I can hear it in your voice. Yes. You've lightened up already.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's been a long time. I've been chasing the AFL dream since I was about 6 or 8 years of age back in the West Wimmera, where me and Timmy Watson are from. And both our mothers were kindergarten teachers, so the Clarksons and the Watsons have known each other for a long, long period of time. But we both chased the footy dream, and it's been a little bit surreal that we've really leveraged our whole life off AFL footy.
Are you feeling sort of this sense of relaxation that you haven't felt in a long, long time?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next 12 months, you know, because I've chased this dream and I've loved every minute of it. The game's given me so much. And so I want to give back to the game a little bit where I can in the next 12 months. I'm not sure how that will shape itself out over that period of time. But if there's anything I can do for the game, whether it's something to do with the Tassie pitch or, you know, I'm really passionate about the Indigenous and what I could do perhaps to help someone like a Cyril up in Northern Territory bring greater awareness to the pathways that the Indigenous can track. But I'm not sure what'll unfold with that. But I'm looking forward to just sitting back and seeing what transpires over the next 12 months. You know, I've chased this dream and just gone flat out with it. But just to sit back and sit yourself in second or third gear rather than overdrive is a good feeling at the present time. You know, at some point in time, I'm certain I'm gonna miss it. And you know, at different stages, you know, even you know, this whole process. Tim and I, and same with you, Gaz, you know, when we were kids, Carlton and Collingwood were two of the most dominant clubs in the competition. And you know, they're just battling a little bit at the present time, but they're gonna grow again and be great clubs again. And you know, for a kid that grew up in the West Wimmera and just held those clubs on such a pedestal, you know, the lure of actually coaching one of those clubs was significant for me. But the bottom line is, I just didn't want to. Just the timing wasn't right. I just didn't want to jump back into it without this really unique opportunity I've got. Just to have 12 months off and see if I can recharge the batteries for AFL footy or explore another opportunity that might be out there. Which is at the minute I'm the promotions officer for 36 short.
Hey, we'll get to that in a moment. We will.
Now we've been, obviously we talk about you from time to time and where you might pop up. And I said to Gary, I said, look, I wouldn't be surprised. I love the NFL. I wouldn't be surprised if I turn my TV set on one day, I'm watching a New England Patriots game, and there's Clarko on the sidelines with a headset on talking to Bill Belichick at some stage. Has that crossed your mind?
Yeah, well, I want to do a couple of things like that. I've got a great mate of mine who's heavily involved in the Tour de France. And, you know, every year he says, oh, I'll come across. But that's smack bang right in the middle of our footy season. So yeah, I've got an invitation to do something with that next year, and I want to, if I can get abroad, I want to go and study and just embed myself in a couple of clubs for a period of time. I've done that a lot, but the greatest period of time that you can ever do it really is a week or 2 weeks. You know, I've got an opportunity now to embed myself in a club for a season if I want to. Now I need to work out how that would happen and where, and whether it's just one club or two. But I'm really looking forward to what might transpire over the next 12 months.
It'll be sensational. I'm so glad you're doing it. Not that it matters what I think, but I think it's going to be great for you. And there was even a suggestion from Paul Kent, who was one of our contemporaries up there in Sydney, that the West Tigers have got to having a good look at their situation, and that he suggested that you go in there, not to pick coaches or anything like that, but just to cast an eye over their structural organisation and how it works and the interaction between coaching staff and phys, you know, all the different stuff that you... Would that be of any interest?
Yeah, well, listen, there's going to be a heap of stuff, Gaz, and I've just got to work out when and how I can get overseas is my first priority. Right. And yeah, that's pretty difficult at the present time, and getting exemptions and that sort of stuff through government to be able to travel to study. But yeah, I'm open to doing anything in sport. You know, I'm obviously very, very high regard for Craig Bellamy and the Storm. You know, they've got another big game this weekend. It's extraordinary how many grand finals they've been in, but prelim finals. I can remember Dennis Pagan saying to me many, many years ago, it's so hard to get to the big dance, but just get to the preliminary finals and as best you can. Sometimes the door will slam shut in your face and sometimes it'll open for you. And Craig Bellamy just keeps getting his boys up there. And so, you know, I've got a passion for rugby league. I don't know a hell of a lot about the rules of the game. I just love how tough and hard they are. And I love what Bellamy's done at Storm.
Are you in regular contact with him? Because it has been, it's been written that, you know, you're good mates and you share stuff and that type of thing. Is that your relationship?
Yeah, well, not so much in the last 18 months, unfortunately. It's not because we've had a falling out or anything. It's just, you know, Bellamy's been up north, I reckon, of the last 18 months. I reckon he's slept in his bed in Melbourne probably about, you know, 20 days in the last 2 years. Now that's been the real transient manner of which NRL's been run in the last 18 months. You know, been very agile and flexible, just like the AFL. I mean, it's been extraordinary what Gill and his executive have been able to do to keep AFL footy going. And yeah, we get a grand final this week, albeit on the other side of the continent, but a pretty special grand final between two teams that have got their own special stories of the last 50 or 60 years.
What's your ideal? How do you ideally see the Tasmanian project, inverted commas, going? Is it a standalone team within 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I think it is, Gaz, and yeah, that would be the pitch. I mean, I think that's how the team is going to have the most support and the greater chance of success, rather than a sort of quasi type of team. They've had a quasi team in Hawthorn going down there for the last best part of 20 years, and whilst that's worked for Hawthorn and it's worked for Tassie, whilst they couldn't have their own team, I think if they can establish their own brand, but it needs time. They need to set it up, and my view is that they need to establish that Tassie's going to have a team, give them a licence, but say, okay, you've got 5 or 6 years to prepare. I think one of the mistakes that was made with perhaps Gold Coast and GWS, they came into the competition pretty hastily. You know, I think it was let's bring them in, and it was a 2 to 3 year window to prepare for those clubs. I think Tassie needs five to six years, and mm-hmm. if they need to get their pathways right, I don't think there'll be a club in the competition that will vote for Tassie to come in if there's going to be significantly compromised drafts to allow the talent to get to the Tasmanian side. So you need 5 or 6 years to build up the pathways program, the school program, get the 13 and 14-year-old kids now who can be players by the time they get to 18 or 20. That list needs to be made up mainly of Tasmanian people. They'll have to have some from the mainland, without a doubt, through drafting and all sorts of things. But by and large, if they can bring their talent, and they can do that because it is a footy heartland down there, but they just need the motivation and the captivation, really, of the Tasmanian market to give them a pathway and give them a sense of where they can go with their footy.
Will you be given an official role, do you think? Is that what you're seeking, or do you just want to be like a consultant?
Well, once again, Tim, it'll all depend whether I'm in Australia or whether I'm abroad. But certainly if I'm here... I've already had some preliminary discussions. You know, James Henderson is the manager, and he's heavily involved in the Tasmanian Task Force. So I've already done a few things with him. You know, he's bounced some ideas off me because I've been going down to Tassie, many, many times over the course of the last 17 years to coach the Hawks. We've got a really good affinity with everything to do with Tasmania, whether that's in the north or south, particularly the north. But, Fags and Bolts are great mates of mine, and They've got a great passion for Tasmanian footy too. So we've often talked about about Tasmania, and you know they know the heartland very, very well. And you know, I've bounced ideas off those guys on a regular basis, so we know it pretty well, and we feel like we can contribute, given that we've, especially those two boys, they've lived in the state, gone through the pathways, they've coached the pathways, and now they've risen to AFL ranks. So they're pretty well positioned, those two, to make some pretty good judgments on whether Tassie could have a team in the AFL.
What about the state of the game? I know this is a big question, but the state of the way the game is played currently at AFL level.
Yeah, well, all I base it on, Tim, is the excitement around particularly this time of year. And I mean, this particular week, you know, people ask you all the time, who's going to win? And it's like, oh, gee, you know, I'm a coach, I'll have the wisdom to know who's going to win this game. But, you know, you split so much because it's such an exciting prospect of this game, you know. Like, who would have thought that the two preliminary finals were going to blow out like they did because of the quality of the two teams? But I think it seems strange that you'd judge it on mark of the year. But the footy this year, I think, was better than it had been in the past. And I'm not sure if it's rule changes or what it was, but we saw some great contenders for mark of the year. Nearly every week there was a really good mark, if not two or three. And I think teams were kicking to a contest more than they've ever done, which allowed, you know, sometimes it was a 1v1 contest, but the longer kicking, it allows your time to actually take a pretty spectacular mark. And I don't think the football mad public enjoy the short chipping type of game that's played. I think they like the long kicking, and that was the sort of the feature of the footy in the 70s and 80s. I can recall earlier in this week, I listened to a little bit of yours and Gaz's show, and you said something about watching a game from the early 80s or something, one of the finals. Yep. And just how pure the game was. And I reckon we got back to it, not so much because of the rule changes, but I think because coaches genuinely thought, gee, we may as well take ground with the ball rather than chip it around in the back half and just get some ground with the footy. And that created more contests and some more genuine type of footy. And I think the wider football public, and certainly I as a great supporter of the game, you know, really enjoyed that part of the game.
You don't want to do some radio, do you? You're going all right at this, Capo. The audience are sitting back just enjoying you, just waxing lyrical.
Well, I better get off pretty soon because you got to get our rugby league favourite on, don't you?
No, we do. So this is you see, and you're running well to a schedule, unlike Wispy. Of all the things I thought you'd be doing, you're marketing. You've got a Macedonian mate who's made some gin vodka. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, it's a great story because they're a Macedonian family that came out in the 1950s. Three brothers, and they were market gardeners, and they went and farmed some land just north of Adelaide of Virginia, and they were tomato growers but predominantly. But then they Pando, the old man, he had a great hobby in terms of distilling his own sort of home brews, and part of that was gin and vodka and whiskey. And they built up to the point where people were drinking and saying, God, this is unreal, you could put this on the market. And just at the point where they did finally get it to license and market, Pando died suddenly. So the two boys, his two sons, John and Con, good, strong Macedonian names those, they decided that as a legacy to their old man Pando, who's, it's called 36 short because that was Pando's suit size. And so they've decided to make a business out of this. And you know, the Macedonians, they're great at the craft of distillery and all that sort of stuff, but they're such a humble family that they just don't know how to promote and push it out there. And you know, they're doing a great job, but I can help them out in some way. They've been such a great support to my family over the journey, irrespective of anything business wise. And if I can help them out, just doing a grand final promotion for 36 short, then I'll do anything I can to help the boys.
Right, so this is what you can do. You can buy this gin vodka, and Clarko tells me it is unbelievable. We'll put all this up on our web pages and our Twitter pages so you can get this. So www.36short.com.au. go into the draw, one of 20 lucky winners who are going to get an exclusive grand final debrief on Monday with Clarko and Damien Hardwick, if you don't mind. So Monday comes around, we'll announce it on Monday. After the grand final, if you go out and buy a bottle of vodka and you go in the draw, you're one of a lucky 20. You go to a debrief and Clarko and Dimmer will tell you who won and why. That's unbelievable.
That's the blood orange gin, mate, is the one. Just a little bit of tonic, bit of ice, and a bit of pink grapefruit juice. Coil, beautiful.
Hey, magnificent. Hey, just quickly before we let you go too, have you checked the security vision down at your property? I know you've got a CCTV camera security set up down there because there's a bloke that's been down there pilfering stuff from your property.
What were you doing on his property then? I drove in to see if Clarko was there, but there was a hive of activity, so I turned around and went out.
Yeah, well, my joint did get pilfered at some point down there, Gaz. I pinched my quad bike, the buggers.
I did hear that, actually. Yeah. It wasn't me, but the property's looking magnificent. You're going to have a bit of time to work there as well. But, hey, you deserve a break. You do, and you've been great to us, and we appreciate you coming on, and we'll continue to pump up 36 short, and we look forward to talking again at some stage.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for helping us out today. Cheers.
Good on you.
The great Alistair Clarkson was here for Build Exact. Register for free Build Exact demo. Get a $50 Dan Murphy's gift card. Head to buildexact.com.au. How great is the Melbourne Storm?
Unbelievable.
The best sporting club in the country. They've lost Cam Smith. They've lost Cooper Cronk. They lost Billy Slater. And they are still winning premierships and still contending again. And they recruit blokes like our man, the Pap. They'll keep doing it. He's up in Noosa getting set for the big prelim against the Panthers. G'day, Pappy.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Tim. How you going?
Going well, mate. We're excited about your club, who have done it again. They've decided they're going to give free membership to everyone that's stuck by them next year. You're back into a prelim. Life has to be going beautifully for you guys.
Yeah, that was huge during the week. Massive announcement from the club. So, that's why I love it, I think. It's just those little acts like that that probably leading the way in Australian sport at the moment in terms of giving back to the members and fans. And I don't think I've seen anything like it before. So, for those Victorian members who haven't seen a game or a finals game in 2 years, to be given a free membership, I think they definitely deserve it. But, I think it's hats off to the club for doing that because, it's a massive move. And, can't wait to get back there now and play some games in front of them.
That's right, Pap. And a lot of people out there would fully understand that it's been a long time since you guys were able to play in front of your own fans. Hasn't been many occasions in the last couple of seasons. When was the last time you actually slept in your own bed, Pap?
I think we had 8 days in the middle of the year. So I think we were down at Twin Waters. Then we came back. I think there was a few cases in the Sunshine Coast. So we went back to Melbourne for 8 days. And then I think Melbourne had a few cases again. And then we got shipped back up to Noosa. So 8 days this year, I think it was. And starting to forget what my apartment looks like.
Does it get easier to be on the road and live like you are and play in this environment?
Oh, I lost you. Is that?
Yeah, sorry. Pepper, can you hear us again? You there? No, we appear to have lost him. So we'll get him back. We'll get him back on the line in a minute.
I can see Ryan's name, Pappenhausen, back on our screen. I am loath to throw to him unless I can guarantee we will hook up with him, Tim. So I'm leaving that entirely in your hands because I can't see from here in Perth.
He's 100% there. Good morning to you again, Ryan.
I'm back. I don't know what happened there, but...
thank goodness for that.
Well, we've run out of time, Pat. We're coming up to the news, so...
Is there anything you want to say before we let you go? I actually asked you the question whether or not it was going to get any, or has been any easier, the longer you've been in lockdown and sort of living together in a hub like you have.
Probably now there's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, I think. Sort of tough at the start and not knowing if we're going back or whether we're staying here or have to move down to the Gold Coast. I think those sort of things were a bit difficult at the time. But now we know we're staying here and now we know that there's 2 weeks left, hopefully 2 weeks left. Everyone's just up and about and it's really similar feeling to last year. So, I think it was hard during the year, but now it's finals and we can see sort of the end. It's just exciting and everyone wants to finish the job now.
Yeah, and the biggest question we all need to know the answer to is the time's been brought forward from 7:15 to 4 p.m. We know you like a three-hour nap before your game. What time are you going to schedule that one in?
I know. It's probably going to be cut to an hour and a half this game, I reckon. So we travelled down to Brizzy that morning. I think, yeah, I'll probably get an hour and a half in, but that's all right. I don't mind a day game. They're all right.
The Munster was talking about this the other day, about how everybody outside Storm fans wants to see them lose. Is that part of the motivation? Does Craig Bellier, does he touch on this sort of stuff?
I think we sort of use a bit of motivation. There's obviously a lot of Sydney clubs in the competition, and it's us and Sydney clubs left. So I guess it's sort of the little state of origin between Sydney teams wanting to win and us Victorians. So we use it as a bit of a motivation, but at the same time, there was a pretty tight game on the weekend between Parra and Penrith, and it was a bit controversial. So I think we might have a few Parra fans on our side, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it is what it is, and happens every year. So nothing we're not used to.
How tough are the Panthers?
They finished second. So it's interesting how it's all matched up, and 1v2 and 3v4 winners go to the grand final. So I think that says enough about them. They've been the form team of the comp all year, and it's pretty hard to split us both. So it's going to be a good game and a tough one, but hopefully we've prepared enough this week and we can go out and get the win.
Hey, Pappy, thanks, Jeff, for jumping on. And sorry about the technical issue we had there, mate. We've got to keep moving. We're heading towards 9 o'clock. But we're right behind you and the Storm. We love you guys. You make us so proud. So hopefully you get through, and we might be able to touch base again next week in the lead up to the grand final.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for that, lads. I hope you guys are doing well. And hopefully all your houses are sweet after that earthquake I seen the other day. It was pretty scary. So hang in there, guys. We are... hopefully we're going to try win the big one, but can't wait to get back there too and celebrate the season we've had.
Play well, mate. Play well.
Good on you, Pappy. What a good man he is. Always thinking of everyone back home in Melbourne or back there in Melbourne. And Melbourne Storm fans would be like all of them. They'd be desperate to get out and support their team and haven't been able to. So tough one for them on Saturday night, but 4 o'clock, hopefully you're watching them and watching Melbourne Storm beat the Panthers, and then you can settle in for the grand final. It's going to be a big Saturday of sport watching.
Oh, I'm nervous and anxious about the Storm at the weekend. Nervous and anxious. You?
No. I'm very confident about the Melbourne Storm. Very, very confident indeed. Is Geraldo there today?
They're a bloody good team, Penrith.
I know that, but it was a very taxing encounter, the 8-6 victory over Parramatta.